Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Yes, it's Is It Just Me? It's the podcast where we talk about a lot of things that don't really matter, not much at all. But then again, they kind of do more than anything on earth, right?
Absolutely.
This is James. That's that James.
Hello,
James,
I'm James.
Williams.
Yes.
That's
how?
The host. Who's the other host?
You, Joe Elvin. How are you?
Hi. How are I'm very well, thank you. Well, James and I are a little bit giddy today. We are ridiculously excited because I think there's been a slight mistake made. We've got an Oscar nominee
podcast. The actual fuck?
That has never happened before.
Wait, we have to do the intro. She's actually written an intro for you, Richard. Okay. I've given the game away already.
It's not a very big one. I think, you know, there has been some kind of mistake.
That's not what any man wants to hear from a woman. Not a very big one.
You're going to hear a lot of things today, Richard, that you may never have heard before.
Okay. Or want to.
I'm so grateful that nobody's ever said that to me.
The thing is, I haven't introduced
not a very
you,
big one.
But everybody knows that voice.
Everyone knows
it's
that
British
voice.
It's British acting royalty. And now he's an Oscar nominee. For crying out loud, it's Richard E. Grant.
Thank you very much.
Now, I'm Australian, so I say Richard E. Grant. Is that offensive?
You can say whatever you want.
Richard E. Grant.
Nothing's offensive.
I'll say Grant to make up for it.
Thank you.
How the hell
are
you?
We're in Australia.
Sydney.
Sydney. Which part?
I had to think then. It's been a long time.
Right. She doesn't want to tell
Penrith.
You.
Do you know Penrith near the Blue Mountains? Yep. Yeah. Yep. I'm a Westie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
That means I'm very, very fashionable and posh and high
Absolutely.
Class.
Yes. You can tell us that.
Yeah. You see, nobody here knows. And nobody can disagree with you.
Well, that's what I did. I came and reinvented.
No, although completely true.
We do have a lot of listeners in Australia who will email in to tell us, but that's totally not the case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And one of them will have a picture of me with a perm, for sure.
Oh, my God, please. If you have that, email it to us immediately.
Yes, please.
Anyway, congratulations, Richard. What a week for you to be alive.
Unbelievable.
Congratulations on the film, which is absolutely brilliant. Yeah, can I just say, your video where you were sort of like rapturing about your Oscar nomination, it made me as happy as if I had been nominated for an Oscar.
It's a viral smash.
It was so joyous.
You're a viral smash, yeah. Richard.
Well, it has astonished me because my daughter, who follows all this stuff, said that as of today, it had had 3.2 million hits.
I think
whatever that is.
At least 25 of those were me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I bow to you. Thank you very, very much.
But Richard, what I love about it is, 'cause I think a lot of people try to be a bit too cool for school when it comes to these things and they pretend it doesn't matter. And what I loved was the exuberance and the sheer joy. And you are really genuinely chuffed, aren't you?
God, I'm astonished that it's happened because I've said this, that I am genuinely a 61 3/4-year-old nominee awards virgin.
Which so feels wrong to everyone. What, there's a compliment in that. Because everyone keeps saying they can't believe.
Even a nomination.
Yes.
Oh, I got nominated for Best Newcomer in 1987.
Bit of a gap.
The Evening Standard Awards for Withnail and I. And I was beaten by a double whammy of Jodie May and Kristin Scott Thomas won together. Wow. So that was the last time.
And who's ever heard of them again?
Yeah.
Exactly. She's just a day.
Robbed, I tell you.
So,
but
you know.
The film is...
So I don't take it for granted. That's my point.
I think that was very, very clear. And so joyous. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. And I really hope you win.
Yeah.
I really want you to win.
What can I just say?
I think the name on a name is already printed on it. It's Mahershala Ali. You know, he's won everything else. But, so, you know, I'm in great company.
Yeah, but we love an upset, you know, yeah. And it could be.
And it does tend to happen in the supporting categories, I think, doesn't it?
You know, right.
But
from your mouth to their ears.
You just don't want a moonlight situation. Well,
Okay. Yes, and the winner is.
Sorry,
oh,
Richard.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mahershala E. Grant.
Yes, exactly.
But what I have to say is, and without blowing too much smoke up your bottom, Richard, I've seen a few of the.
Blow the smoke.
Blow away.
Blow the smoke.
He's an actor, darling.
I've seen a few of the Oscar contenders this year. And I have to say, some of those films haven't lived up to the hype for me.
Mm-hmm.
Can You Ever Forgive Me is the film we're talking about, you and Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
This is a film I went into and I was genuinely, I loved it. It's great. It's just a really, really, really good film. And for me, it's the kind of dark horse, I think, of the award season.
Thank you.
Well, yeah.
I'm delighted to
Did you know it was, you must have got that script and gone, this is a gift, I must do it.
Yeah, but you know, by the same token, it was very low budget. It was about two very lonely, near destitute, non-socially acceptable characters. That, you know, I play a coke dealing petty criminal who you find out at the end is HIV positive as well, who doesn't have any sort of moral uprighteous, you know, I don't know, citizen of the world. God, I don't know what I'm talking
about. He's a chancer, isn't he? A grifter.
Yeah, he is. And Melissa McCarthy plays Lee Israel, who was a very misanthropic, porcupine-like, curmudgeonly woman who fell on hard times and started forging inadvertently great literary figures' letters and selling them off as the real thing.
It's a fascinating story.
And it's a film also, it's amazing.
So it doesn't sound like Blockbuster on paper.
No, I suppose not, but it does feel like, having watched it, God, how hasn't this been made already? Because it's such a brilliant story. It's unbelievable that it's a true story.
Well, they took them 11 years to finally get the thing financed and with this cast to get made. So it has been around for a long time.
And how, because also seeing Melissa McCarthy in a very different light. I mean, they're obviously very comedic moments, but it's very dark comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for her, this is much more of a dramatic turn.
Complete transformation.
Yeah. How did you find working with Melissa?
She was very, very difficult. And she was, I don't know why you're laughing. She was grumpy all the time. And, you know, she's in The Boss.
That's my favourite Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
She
film.
Is. She's grumpy. She never knows a line. She hated me on sight. I mean, it was an absolute dream pleasure to work with this person. We met on a Friday exactly a year ago, on the 20th of January, and for 2 hours, and went through all the scenes and discussed, you know, where we were sort of coming out about these characters. Had lunch together. And then on the Monday, we started filming for 26 days. And it was literally that coup de foudre, sort of lightning in a bottle thing that you have with another human being, where we felt such an instant, deep, profound connection that I thought, well, if any of that transmits into the friendship on screen, then at least that will have achieved something. And so it did happen.
And so how are you feeling about the Oscars? We've got to ask you. Have you started thinking about your outfit yet, Richard?
Oh, my outfit yet. I called. She was, after I'd spoken to my wife, she was the second person that I called. And we were both crying that we could barely understand what the other person was saying. It's all like that. You know, it sounds so ridiculous 2 days later. But at the time, it just felt incredible that both of us had been sort of seen or nominated for this thing together, because it feels like a real, as in the story there, it's an interdependent friendship that I couldn't have done it without her, and she certainly could have done it without me, but you know, it was very symbiotic. And
yeah, I don't know, I mean, it, as you sort of touched on it, went through so many permutations before it actually became a thing.
Yeah.
And now it's you know Oscar nominated, you know, both the leads, and it kind of just feels like meant to be. It feels like one of those things that was ordained in a way.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Good things happen to good people.
From Penrith.
Yeah.
I have to say as well that I this is going to sound really weird. I love your wife because I actually read your book, your sort of autobiography with Nails.
All right.
It was one of the first, dare I say it, celebrity So celebrity sort of memoirs. Yeah. I was a film student when it came out, and I remember buying it because obviously as a film student, you just thought, I'm going to tear this up. And it was a brilliant book. But what I loved is that your wife was such a grounding influence then, wasn't she? She basically let you get away with nothing, did she really? You were this, very actor-react.
Well, she's from Aberdeen, you know, and there's a Calvinist streak of like, don't bullshit the bullshitters.
Exactly.
So, you know, you can't mess around with that. And so I don't.
But I love the fact that now you've come full circle. Also, how many years have you been married?
We've been married, licensed 32 years and together 35.
That's amazing.
So it's a lifetime.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, but it must be.
How long have you been together?
Oh, well, Joe and I have been technically professionally married for 15 years.
Yeah, but how long have you been together with the person that you do love?
Oh, I have no one, Richard. I'm still on the hunt for that person. They've eluded me.
Have you never been in love?
Oh, well, yes, I think so, but maybe
you
not.
You think so?
Well, I don't think I've had the big love yet, I hate to say it.
Then you definitely haven't.
No.
Because you would know if you
had. Yeah, no.
And where are you looking on the internet?
Well, that's the only place to look these days, unfortunately. I think so, yeah. You see, you never have to worry about
and
Tinder.
And you've had no luck?
Not really, no. I've had some good stories, some great sort of dinner party anecdotes.
You're channeling your therapist from Stephen Mangan's show right now.
No, I'm just very curious. You know,
he's been stuck in a room being interviewed all day. Of course he's going to start asking.
Are you in love?
Yes.
Of course I'm in love.
Oh, yes. How long have you been in love for?
It's my 19th wedding anniversary next Tuesday.
And are you married to a man or a woman?
A man.
Right. And it's working out?
19
for
years.
For the most part, yeah. 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 I mean, we've been together 24 years.
That's 20, a long time.
25 years, yeah.
So what do you think is wrong with your...
Oh God, we haven't
got
enough.
On air part.
We haven't got enough time.
There's
for
absolutely
that.
Nothing wrong with James, except
does he have very high standards?
I think he shares the same thing as my gay brother in that as you get older, you just find it harder and harder to compromise and bend. Yeah. And I think so. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Ooh, well, actually, that's getting a bit personal. But
do bend.
Yeah. Also, I have a dog now, Richard. You know, so that's all I need. I've got my puppy Bingley. So yeah. I would have brought him. He normally comes to the podcast recordings, but I wasn't sure if the hotel here would have him in.
Have you got any advice for James?
Yes. What's the secret?
Any advice for James? Goodness me, I don't know. I don't know how you meet people.
No.
I wouldn't honestly know how you begin, but you know, you...
How do you know anyone?
You're
do you know any
man with your own hair and teeth? Surely
just
you can
about.
Just, you
isn't
can
he
go
looking
to...
good? He's been on a really strict regime lately. Yeah, yeah.
What does he normally look like?
Oh, well, you know, like Jabba the Hutt. But yeah. It's been quite the transformation. Well, yeah.
So where do you try and meet people?
Well, it's unfortunately, no one talks in real life anymore, apart from at junkets, Richard. So,
yeah, but if you go to a bar or you go to a club, do you not meet people?
No,
there?
I think people just think you're strange. Everyone's on their phone. Everyone's doing it via an app.
I think the dog is the key.
You've got relatively. You've got children who are out there on the dating scene.
Yeah.
Do they not say it's a jungle out there?
Yeah, it's a big jungle.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I have.
Are either of them single or gay?
My daughter is.
I'm just thinking for James. If there's any sort of possibility here? Yeah,
she's not gay, but she is. She is now with somebody.
Oh, well, good.
But
for
she
her.
Has been a year on the old internet dating doodle.
And are you?
Some of the stories she's told me have been eye-watering,
and they're all true. That's the thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. True.
Next film.
I'll never forget.
There's always the discrepancy between what people say they are and then who actually turns up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Their pictures.
So you find that
their pictures are always about 5 years
or
10 years.
If I ever do internet dating, that's totally what I'm going to do. I'm just going to catch people. Yeah. It's just that'll be my hobby.
Yeah, but then you face the abuse of the person turning up and say, "I'm sorry, it's not what it's advertised."
Yeah, but
on
then
the
I might get a book out of it. You know, something like that.
Oh,
you know,
true.
I'm not actually looking for a meaningful relationship after this one.
Just think of the book opportunities, the licensing.
Okay.
But yes, you know, I remain the optimist, Richard. You know, I always try to maintain optimistic. You never know what's going to happen or who's out there. But
I think haul that dog out as a conversation piece at the
park. To be honest, you know, he does get a lot of attention.
Walking a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a euphemism.
And I know somebody who was in an art gallery and just looking around at pictures and met somebody doing that.
Right. Okay. I need to get down to some art galleries.
People. So maybe you should do that.
See, I told you we'd end up talking about things hadn't talked about.
It was worth the trip alone, wasn't it? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, if you haven't as of yet seen it, do head to your local cinema right now and check out Can You Ever Forgive Me? It really is a really great great movie. Thank superbly you. Acted by both you and Melissa, and also just a really tight fit, really well edited, you know, not overly long, Richard, you know, without being, you know, sometimes films can feel like a second job.
Everything's too long.
No, it's perfect. It's a really, really well judged, brilliant film. So go check it out. It's really, really good. But now onto the main event, Richard.
Yes,
we're now going to debate some very serious
topics.
Looking
forward to this.
I can tell. I think we've got our work cut out
for us.
We
really have.
As a deeply superficial person, you've come to the right door. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
He's here to agitate.
So, first topic this week, Richard E. Grant. I've got to say Richard E.
Richard
Grant.
Richard E. Grant.
E. Grant.
Grant.
And Joe Elfin.
Yes.
Is it just me? And I feel this is very on topic for the film we're talking about today. Is it just me that's drawn to the naughty person or the naughty people in life?
I think that, you know, in the health and safety regulations world in which we're constantly being constrained and what is politically correct to the point where they can't even find a host for the Oscars next month. I think that being drawn to the naughty people is what keeps life being interesting. Yeah, I love that.
I agree.
Yep.
Define naughty for me.
Yeah.
So I'm immediately harking back to the time I went to Mexico City with a friend and we got to stay with a friend of a friend and we didn't know and he nearly killed us in a car accident.
Oh.
You just think, I don't want to be in danger.
That's a reckless person. Yeah. That's that's a car crash person, quite literally.
Yeah.
No, I guess my thing is, I always think when I was sort of writing this, the first thing that came to my head was, and I have used this line far too many times in my life, you know, that classic line from Steel Magnolias where one of them says, if you haven't got anything nice to say, come find a seat by me. You know,
I like those people.
I like those. Because to me, we've talked a bit about, you know, there's something a bit suspicious about people who are very, very nice the whole time. I like a bit of darkness, and that's why I actually like this film so much. I like the fact that in Can You Ever Forgive Me, you basically find two very dark people who bond over the fact that they're basically not particularly nice people.
And she is hilariously vile.
She's just unashamedly vile about other people and about things. She didn't give a fuck.
But it's weird though that they become nicer people through meeting equally horrible people. Do you know what I mean? They find a lightness, don't they? They find a way to laugh.
Absolutely. Yeah. No,
and
I think
that's it. It's all about a sense of humor with these things. But I'm glad you can tell, but he's got that glint in his eye, haven't you?
See, I don't think I'm that naughty. Like, as I was saying to you earlier, I'm not going to name who it was, but
why?
I was, well, because I don't want to get, you'll see Dude. Why. But, I was looking after a famous person in Australia. And as part of my job. And
you're looking after a famous person in Australia. So was that Les Patterson? Sam Neill, Brian Brown, Kathy Lett.
It was Kathy.
Well, Kathy's
Russell Crowe.
Kathy's my big sister, but it wasn't her.
Russell
she
Crowe,
she's the naughty person.
Nicole
I am really.
Kidman.
I think you are sort of like way in the lofty A-list scenario. I'm talking about Australian TV famous.
Yeah. Okay.
Logie level.
And then that Logies. And then this person.
She's being so snobby now.
But this
You're
person wouldn't. But this person wouldn't speak to me because I wouldn't buy them any drugs.
Ah.
Do you see what I mean? I just thought, well. I don't want to be that naughty. Do you know what I mean? So I don't want to break the law
drugs,
for you.
So who is that? Not Russell Crowe.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
You'll be really disappointed.
He won't rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is what I love about you, Richard. You play you've made a career of playing some very naughty characters.
I have indeed.
But you know, I mean, obviously with Ney, obviously the most arguably one of the most famous drunks on celluloid.
Okay.
But you know, you're not a drinker.
No, but I'm sure I would drink if I could drink.
Yeah.
But I just have no enzymes, so I can't.
Yeah.
Literally, it's toxic to my system. But I like other things.
But it's amazing that you can then channel. Cause I always think playing drunk is one of the hardest things to do. Because you know when people used to do it as kids. Teenagers would have like one sip of shandy and then pretend to be really drunk and do something stupid. Because it's like, there's no way you're drunk and you're behaving like no one believes you're drunk. And often that can happen with people doing, you know, dramatic roles. They act drunk very badly, whereas you do it beautifully.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
But who are you channeling when you do those?
Well, I've just noticed that, you know, when I've been around drunk people, and I have been around a lot of them throughout my life, that there's an enormous amount of concentration and focus that they have of trying to get through a door, trying to appear not drunk. So it's that thing and that slight delayed reaction on anything that just And then you feel like
when
you're drunk.
When were you following me? When was that?
I'm following you right now. She's completely lathered.
Do you know what? There's a rug at Soho House in West Hollywood, and every time I see it, my stomach does a little flip from one particular night. Oh. I was there with you. Oh. I was very...
Don't blame me.
Did a Persian carpet come out of your mouth onto the rug?
No, thank God.
Oh, you were spared that disgrace.
But I do remember sort of like in that concentrated way, I could tell that people were thinking, look at that girl. Oh my God, she needs to go home. Yeah. That was a bad night.
So you must be English or Australian.
Yeah. And so you're definitely Hollywood naughty then, because people don't really get that drunk in LA.
Yeah, oh God, no.
Yeah.
I can remember going out with, having lunch with Hollywood producers and an English actor, had half a bottle of wine over lunch. And immediately we finished lunch, they said to me with complete seriousness, is he an alcoholic?
Mm. I know.
Because half a bottle of wine was deemed. Know, it was considered an enormous amount.
Whereas here, it's just a nice warm-up.
That's a Tuesday.
Is it? Yeah, it's a casual Tuesday lunch.
Exactly.
But I don't think you're clearly that kind of person, because we've talked a bit about this, because, you know, I've recently done a period of 8 weeks of not having a drink, and we've talked a bit about the joys of sobriety. January. Yeah, well, no, I did it before that. I didn't jump on that bandwagon. But we had Susanna Reid from Good Morning Britain. Oh, she was on the podcast, and she was talking about the fact that she's been teetotal now for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about it quite a bit. But what I always say is, it's that weird thing, isn't it? And it's so bizarre. People tend to assume if you don't drink, you're no fun. And I think you're that classic example of someone that clearly doesn't need a drink to be a good laugh and to be quite naughty.
Oh, well, I've been accused. Thank you. I've been accused of being drunk many, many times in my life, or stoned, just because you do it sort of by osmosis. If you're around people that are off their faces, you get in the mood.
Yeah, and you don't care as much because you know they're not going to remember.
Yeah, and you don't have a hangover the next day. I've noticed that is the one advantage.
But do you find you can maintain that like a long period of drunken people's behaviour? Or do you have a sort of, okay, I've got to be out here after a couple of hours?
The only time that I run for the door is when somebody is telling me the story for the fifth time, and then they get leery-eyed and they go, oh, you don't drink, do you? No. And then you get that sort of slight rape and violence look in the eyeball and think,
yeah, I think you've got to be a cheery please. Drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind those. I like the huggy drunks. They're okay.
Miserable drunks.
That's so what I found. I basically realised that drinking enables you to listen to the same five stories five times a night. Because people just go around in a cyclical way and they come back. Oh, they go, can we go back to what we were saying earlier? When you
and
said
I
that?
Must just tell you, and you think, yeah, you have just must have told me five times already.
Oh, God, this is me again. Right, let's get off this topic.
I was going to say, but before we do, if you win big Oscar night, Richard, how are you going to celebrate that? How do you probably let your hair down?
I will probably have, I don't know. I love dancing, so I'll try and find somewhere I can do that. Oh. Even if it's in my...
A hotel room.
In my hotel room, yeah.
Oh, well,
not long
luck.
To wait right. now. No, make sure you video that, because that's going to be one another sort of internet sensation.
I'll be dancing, whether, you know, whatever, just to have got into that room of people. It's like being admitted into the fame club at the sort of A-list level, sort of like temporary membership. That's what this whole experience
and then
is
you,
feeling like.
And then you should do like a dab of victory or a Macarena of victory.
I was going to say, if you can't, if you can be naughty one night, it's the night you win an Oscar. Okay. So,
Well, Amber will carrot then.
And we'll be naughty on your behalf, Richard. Okay. We'll think of you naughty drinks on your behalf. Anyway, good luck.
The half a bottle, because I've got a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, So which one do you want to do,
shall
Jamesy?
We do Born in a Different Decade, or should we do... We thought we'd do either Is It Just Me, who wishes they were born in a different decade, and we've also got Is It Just Me, who has slightly pensioner tendencies. Let's do pensioner. You will laugh at that one.
Well, it's because you've just looked at me being half my age.
I'm not half your age. For goodness sake.
How old are you?
I'm 49 next month.
And how old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay, you can double 42 and be 84 quite believably. 49, you can be, how much is that? 88? 98.
Yeah, that's...
98.
Yeah, that's old.
62, you're 62, 112, you're box burnt and gone. So you have an enormous advantage.
Yeah, but you don't look...
So let's talk about pensioners here.
Well, okay, right. When I said, is it just me?
They who both has- looked at me and said, yes, let's choose the pensioner option, you fucks.
Well, no, it's only because I had this idea, because is it just me that has these slightly pensioner tendencies? Because my friends think it's really weird, because I find myself drawn to certain types of chocolate. Yes. Like I like a Fry's peppermint cream or an After Eight.
A fried?
Fries. You know, fries peppermint cream.
Okay. You want to be careful being a gay and getting old before your time.
I know. So I know.
You've got the dog.
I know.
You know.
I know. Even Turkish Delight, these tend to be slightly granny delicacies, aren't they? Which I quite like.
You don't need teeth.
Yes, basically like a soft, anything softer doesn't hurt
your
teeth.
You've got to think about these things at your age, James.
I know. And then the other thing I was going to say is, am I the only person that still uses talc? Because my friend find that quite amusing that I use talc.
I heard it's not very good for you.
Well, I went to an Australian's wedding.
Oh, God.
One of your great Australians married a friend of mine called Jerry Hall. And I noticed that every course of the wedding feast, you did not require teeth. Soup, salmon mousse.
So glad today he's not my employer.
Followed by a fish course, followed by blancmange.
Wow.
You did not need teeth for any of the courses.
I have to tell pensioners. You, one of the greatest moments of my life, which I did not dare take a photo of, was seeing your Australian friend queue up for a porta potty at the Apple headquarters. I just thought, this is some powerful company where even Mr. Murdoch is queuing for the portaloo.
Yeah. Wow. And
they were all there. It was like Davos in California.
Taxes and taking a dump, that characterizes every human being's earthly function.
Did you have a pavlova?
There wasn't one on offer.
Oh, well, then that's not a proper Australian
wing. But you don't need teeth for that.
Obviously, Jerry put a foot down.
Too hard on the teeth, the pavlova.
Too hard on the teeth. Snap a denture.
Is it only me?
I've got what I came for.
Is it only me? That's
only, only you that are on the pensioner thing.
Getting old before my time.
But I've
always been drawn slightly to, like, you know, I quite like tweed. Quite like cords.
You should move in with
my
husband.
Do you like old ladies?
No, I don't really like old men either. But
you don't like them either.
No.
You like this old lady. Come on. And you should move.
At 49, harpooning for a compliment. Which didn't come.
Is outrageous.
Yes, says the woman from Penrith, the posh part of Western Sydney.
Well, I'm glad we all know where we stand.
Exactly.
Yes.
You would get on well with Ross, my husband, who's obsessed with central heating, which I think is a real pensioner hallmark.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, do you have slippers?
No, I don't believe in slippers. Do you?
Oh, really?
Okay. Do you have garments that you wear inside the bed?
Yes.
Oh, pension alert.
Very little ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how little?
I'm still keeping it interesting.
Like a matinee thong.
Are you thongy? You haven't gone into the full wincy yet.
What happened to bed jackets?
Bed jackets.
I only ever knew about
bed
jackets.
You even know about bed jackets says that you're on the way to being a full-size pensioner.
No, because when I was a kid in the fashionable suburb of Penrith, I watched a lot of British television. That's how I knew about bed jackets.
That's because there was no central heating.
It was a real on the buses thing, a bed jacket. Don't you think?
Yes, but they're being worn by people like Penelope Keith, who was born old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But also, there was no central heating, so they probably had to layer up.
Yes.
Have you got pensioner tendencies, Richard?
No,
I feel like we need to ask. Yeah.
I have no idea, because I'm the mental age of about 17.
Oh, well,
so
see,
I haven't matured into full adulthood yet. Never mind pensionerdom.
Okay.
But no slippers, no pajamas, no twin set winciettes or any of those things.
Not yet. But you do
or tease made.
You look great. You don't dress like a pensioner. But you said you were going to be 62 this year. I was like, what? That doesn't sound right. Any secrets you want to tell us, Richard? Any secrets?
No, I have no. I use a combination of hemorrhoid preparations and donkey spunk to keep myself looking smooth and fresh at all times.
You need
and
to bottle. You should bottle that stuff.
Can you get that on Amazon? That's working for you.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So yes, okay. So I'm basically just the
Where is this going?
Young fogey. So
I have no idea.
Well, look. If anyone,
so what makes always you been a young fogey?
Oh no, I just think the fact
apart
that I everyone laughs at the fact that I seem to like things like sort of slightly old granny chocolates that you know, and I like talc.
He lives in a pink cottage.
No, it's baby powder, if we're being very specific about
baby
it.
Powder.
You live in a lovely little old lady pink house.
Oh, God, no, I do sound like a pensioner.
Yeah.
That's literally true. That's not a lie.
Do you have a shopping trolley that's got a little bag and two wheels?
A tartan one.
A tartan one,
have you?
With a flap on the top.
Of course I don't.
I believe that.
I love that. You're actually
going to
listen
to me.
For the record, if anyone's listening to me going, I must date that man. Don't let the shopping trolley put you off. I don't have a shopping trolley. Yes, no. Well, look, if you are sat sat there and you are desperate to come to my defence and say, no, I love, oh, I'm a rapidly ageing young pensioner. We love hearing from you guys. So do drop us an email at the usual address. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts, your opinions and your suggestions for future topics.
I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to being of pensioner age and just blithely pushing into a supermarket queue.
See?
And no, yes. Nobody ever questions that, do they?
And do you look forward to having your teeth in a glass of sterilant on the glass shelf?
That's never happening.
That's never going to happen.
That is never happening.
Thanks to denture grip. Okay. Yeah. The joys of denture grip. Yes. Yes. You're warming to the thief
now. If your father, when you were 3 years old, used to, for a lol, throw his false teeth into your lap, then you look after your teeth.
Okay.
One of my teachers said...
Not a very posh thing to do in Penrith, but I'm
I know.
Surprised.
Well, this was when we were in Seven Hills. We upgraded after
I see. Yeah.
One of my
teachers... Did he get new teeth?
One of my teachers once lost her teeth whilst telling us off at school. How could she come back in the next day? She actually came in and she kept teaching there. In a way, I admire her, but can you imagine losing your teeth in front of your entire class of kids and then having the balls to come back in the next day and style it out? I mean, God bless her.
I am enjoying myself so much, but someone's looking at us now.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. You have 5 minutes. That's our 5 minute warning.
Yes.
Right, we've got time for one more topic quickly, I think.
Police. All right, super quick.
Let's do our last one.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Finally then, this week, Mr. E. Grant.
Yes.
Is it just me who wishes I was born in a different decade? Where do we stand on this one? Are you happy where you are?
I like living in the moment and the time that we are right now.
Do you?
Even Brexit and all. I couldn't imagine a better time. Yeah. Why? Where you obviously hark to some other time.
Well, no, I guess because, you know, you can't help
being... A time of...
Yeah, well, I think you just, you know, you hear about the 70s, the 60s, and I think, you know, you just always think...
I lived through both of those.
Always think people are having a better time.
No, they're not.
When I was a kid, and I'm not as thin now, but when I was a kid and I was super skinny and used to get teased and bullied about it at school, and my mother...
She is enormous.
And
you get the double doors here.
And my mother used to say, yeah, but look at Twiggy. Twiggy was, and I was like, yeah, but no one wants to look like Twiggy now. They want to look like Cindy Crawford. So I kind of, when I was younger, when I was a teenager, it would have been pretty handy to have been a teenager in the Twiggy time.
But I think you've touched on a good point. I think that you have this very sort of glossy version. We only see the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, even the 90s now through, you know, very polished, well-made TV shows and, you know, and they make it look very glamorous, don't they?
Just look at any... reality TV, any documentary about what it was like, really like in the 60s and 70s, and I guarantee that you will think you're so grateful that you live where you do right now.
And also, you've got a fucking Oscar nomination right now, so it's the best time for you to be alive.
It is.
And we all got to sit here together today.
We certainly did.
Yeah.
We did.
I did think, when we heard you were going to do this podcast, I thought that was a voice destined to do a podcast.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Don't you think?
You must have done podcasts before, right?
I have done some in America. I've never done one in England.
Oh, we're popping your podcast cherry over here.
You are, absolutely.
I hope we were
plundered as we speak.
I hope it was good for you, Richard.
I hope we were gentle.
So good for me. I'm feeling warm all over.
Well, it's been lovely to meet you, Richard.
Thank you. Why are you wearing headphones?
Well, just to make sure I can actually hear
cool.
us.
Because they look cool.
Yeah.
And who is the drug-addled soap actor from the Logie Awards?
He's not letting this one go.
Sydney, you wanted to tell us about?
It's going right off before we actually say. Because
who is it? Just mouth it to me.
I'll tell you in a minute.
No, tell me right now.
I'll tell you in a minute.
No, you'd have no idea.
You'd be like, who is that? That's just going
to
happen when you tell him.
Will I know who this person is?
I don't know.
Okay, well, tell me.
Anyway, we're going to wrap things up and then she'll tell you. Richard, good luck on Oscar night.
Thank you.
Good luck with the movie. Not you need it at all. It's a fantastic film. Do check it out. It's in all great cinemas right now. It's Can You Ever Forgive Me? And we want to say thank you once more to Mr. Richard E. Grant for joining us. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.